When I grew up in Worcester, in the central part of the state, long before there was Walmart, or Costco, or BJ's, there was Spags. Some of you might remember Spags, not many of you, I'm sure, but some of you might remember Spags. I remember going there as a boy, where everything you can imagine was stacked high up to the ceiling. They had, I will say, everything you wanted, but none of the luxuries of shopping today. There were no bags. There were no shopping carts to carry your things to your car. You basically had to find what you need to carry what you bought. That's pretty much why I think my father brought us, so we'd carry stuff, find the boxes to put the stuff, to carry them to the car. He'd also always say, "Stay close to me," because he was always worried that there were so many crowds there, we'd be swept off in the sea of crowds and be lost. The bottom line for Spags and why it did so well for so many years was it was about good value. That's why we went. It cut out all the extras. It got rid of all the frills and got right down to what it's all about. This is what Micah did as well. That Old Testament prophet we heard from the sixth chapter. As a prophet, he went right down to the bottom line. No frills, no beating around the bush. Micah wanted people to know what God required of them and what God requires of us. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. It's not about calves. It's not about thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil. The bottom line is that God doesn't care about ritual without righteousness, and God doesn't care about the sacrifice of things without the sacrifice of ourselves. What God values is our daily walk with God, which comes alive in the way we do justice and the way we love as Christ showed us how to love. This was a challenge for the people in the day of Micah. This was a challenge for the people in the day of Jesus. And it's still a challenge for us today. In that powerful book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, Edward Gibbons gave five reasons for why civilization would decay or decayed. And one of those reasons was the decay of religion, in which faith faded into mere form and religion basically lost touch with daily life. That's a good warning for us today. That's a good warning for us in a church any day. To make sure we never lose touch with what it means to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. It's who we are. We can't lose touch with this. Focusing on the periphery. This is what's central to who we are. Everything we do, all of our ministry in this place needs to find that delicate balance, that delicate balancing journey of justice, kindness, and humility. Jesus obviously knew this challenge. In our gospel lesson from the fifth chapter of Matthew this morning, Jesus withdraws from the crowds with his followers to share with them not how to succeed in society, but what God is like and what God expects of them and of us. And these Beatitudes, as they're called at the beginning of that Sermon on the Mount, certainly turn society's idea of life upside down. Jesus knows that we just like people back then, as a society, have convinced ourselves that the appropriate goals for our lives involve comfort, involve security, involve pride, involve accumulation, involve getting ahead, involve doing it on our own. And Jesus says today, and the prophets said every day, we've got it wrong. People, including us, say, we don't want to depend on anyone, even God, because that would make us vulnerable. We want to build up ourselves. We want strength, not vulnerability. And Jesus answers, blessed are the poor in spirit. People say, I'm not going to cry anymore. It's time to get over this situation and to move on in our lives. And Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. We say, I want the American dream. I want real estate. I want power. I want fame. And Jesus says, blessed are the meek. People say, I'm tired of being a bleeding heart. I work for what I have, and others should do the same thing. And Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. People say, we need a strong defense that makes our country great. And Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus up on that mountain with his followers long ago and here with us today is telling us what God is like and who God's people are. And it sounds a little out of step with the times. And it makes me wonder, does it work today? Does it still work? C.S. Lewis wrote once, to love at all is to be vulnerable. And I know that if we teach our children, and if we teach ourselves and try to love as God loves, it will leave us vulnerable in a way. But I also know it is who God calls us to be, and I know this is how God wants me to be, and this is what God wants me to teach, and what God wants me to preach. One of the main tasks, I think, of the church is to offer up an alternative consciousness, not alternative facts, but alternative consciousness where the values and the vision we aspire to are Jesus's and not what society tells us, even if our leaders are telling us it. If we hear and are taught to be comfortable with the blessings of life that come from money or looks or possessions or power, we need to find discomfort with that. To know our job when surrounded by violence, both on the streets and in words and in actions of all sorts, we need to know that our job is to live believing and acting like we believe that the gentle and peaceful will inherit the earth. Do you act believing like that? We need to believe that in the face of that desire that exudes in our society of getting the best of everything for ourselves, we need to instead show our desire for justice for everyone. To find comfort in the wilderness as we try to follow God and figure out how to bring change. As we raise our voices in protest and we look to resist, as we look to bring justice. Jesus asks us today to think about how we do that while loving and connecting and being in honest conversation with those who think different than us. This is what Christ wants us to share as the church. This is the alternative consciousness that Jesus invites each of us to live within. All of us as a church need to share that, yes, life at times can seem turbulent and unnerving and downright painful. But believe that God can reach down to each one of us in the midst of life's chaos. And we need to live believing that God will lift us up. We need to be the faithful people we call ourselves to be. We may be rocked by the struggle to live as faithful, progressive Christians in our world today, but we can persevere because God has placed within us the power of the Holy Spirit. God has placed within you the power of the Holy Spirit, and it is alive. It defines us. The outside does not define us. We are defined by the living presence of God that exists in each one of us, that is close to us as the breath we take and the steps we take. We take them not alone. That's the message that God places before us. Our faith does work, and we can proclaim that fact both as individuals and as a church to all the people of our lives, of our community, whether things are going our way or not, whether we are winners or losers in elections or on issues, none of that changes. What does it mean to live our life as faithful people, to walk with your God in the midst of challenging times? That's what Martin Luther King used to say. That's where the measure of individual comes out. Not through times of comfort and ease, but during times of challenge and controversy. What Micah and Jesus invite us to is this tough walk that faithful people are called to walk. An alternative and sacrificial and yet somehow weirdly a blessed walk that focuses on what is at the core of our faith. To do justice, yes, but also to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. That's a real balancing act. That is a walk that is not easy, but walk that balanced walk and be blessed. It does work. It is how God works, and it is how God works through us. The world might have other ideas, but God in the prophets long ago, God in Jesus, God in each of you has other ideas. About justice, and about kindness, and about humility. I heard John Lewis, the congressman, say this morning, everything he does in his life, he does based on his faith. And fundamentally, it's about how to learn and to live loving people who are your enemies, who are different than you. What does that mean for John Lewis today? What does that mean for us today? As we do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God. God has placed this gift of faith in your hands, in our hands. This world is filled with potential today. It's filled with opportunity today. It's filled with a need for people Who are you? To let your voices be heard, to let your love be seen. Let your kindness and humility be shared. And it will bring change. Maybe not today, maybe not even in 4 years. Though that makes you nervous. But maybe not even in 4 years. Maybe not even in your lifetime. But that's how people have walked their faith. And that's how we're called to walk. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we place ourselves in your loving and gracious hands, a broken people, broken as individuals and broken as a nation, broken as a world of people who stumble and wander, who make bad decisions, who make good decisions, who live with others who think different than them, who live with others who think the same, who live with people who look the same, who live with people who look different. But on this day and every day, we go out into this world called to be your children, called to be your disciples. If anyone comes this morning just feeling overly burdened with anything in their ways on their hearts that seems impossible to get through, allow them to feel your light shining in their life. Allow them to put their trust and faith in you. When there's no one else to put our trust and faith in, God, help us put our trust and faith in you. Life is going to be filled with changes. But tomorrow is a tomorrow you hold in your hands. Through all the struggles and through all the joys, through all the good days, through all the bad days, we thank you for the beloved community you've placed within this place and that resounds in so many places across this land, across this world. People who are take that next step, who speak that next word, who walk humbly with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We join together now on page 2219 in the Faith, Black Faith. We sing hymnal, Goodness is Stronger Than Evil. And sing it like you believe it. Please stand.